Welcome to Gospel Tabernacle Church in Dunn, North Carolina, led by Pastor Randy Hill. Our desire at the Tabernacle is that you experience biblical covenant living in your everyday life. Let's go now and join the congregation of Gospel Tabernacle in a service that is already in progress.
I'm real excited about this morning's message. Ladies, have you ever cooked something and you got so excited when you're just buying the ingredients because you knew it was going to be good? That's the way I've been for the last 72 hours over this message. God really moved in the first service, and we had a lot of people delivered. And I'm telling you, I'm believing that this morning, some of you have been walking in some bondage for over 20 years. I didn't say you weren't saved. I just say you've been walking in bondage. I believe you're going to get out of it this morning in Jesus' name. I'm excited. Why don't you take your Bibles? If you would, turn to Romans chapter 3. I'm going to get there eventually, but Romans chapter 3. We're starting a new series this morning, and the title of the series is Satanic Poisonous Weapons. Satanic Poisonous Weapons. As you well know, we dress up good to come to church, and we look good. And if you look around this morning, we have smiling faces, and some have coats and ties on, some have jeans and t-shirts and shorts, and it doesn't matter what you're wearing, but we always look good when we come to church. But I'm here to tell you that you don't know, if you're not sitting by a family member, and maybe even if you are, you don't know the story of their pain that's around you. Because I'm here to tell you, all of us have a past. Can you say amen? All of us have situations that we don't want people to know about. We all have situations that we try to hide from people, and we are tormented by the devil, afraid that the news will get out. I've learned one thing. If the devil's realized he cannot keep you from getting to heaven, he's going to make the road to heaven a lot of hell. Did that make sense? He knows he can't stop you from going to heaven, so he's going to attack you with everything he can while you're on your way to heaven. And the way that he does that usually is by lying to you about your past or bringing up your past of things that nobody knows. And I'm here to tell you, in a crowd this size, I know without a doubt that there are people that you have things in your life that the enemy is constantly attacking you with. And he's trying to bring shame into your life, and he's trying to make you feel bad. It's not the fact you're not saved. It's just the fact you're walking with a crutch. Why is that? Because you have not yet gotten over the tragedy of what happened to you. This morning, I want to talk to you about three words, but one I want to deal with in particular. The three words I want to deal with are guilt, shame, and grace. But the one word that I want to deal with the most is the word shame. Say shame with me today. And the way that we understand shame, this poisonous weapon of the enemy, is you got to understand the difference between guilt and shame. And they are totally different. So let's first look at guilt. Guilt is the fact or the statement of wrongdoing. It is saying that someone or somebody did something wrong and you are found guilty of it. Guilt implies basically that someone did an offense, that someone violated a law. Someone is convicted of something. That's called guilt. Guilt is being responsible for something you have done wrong. Let me say that again. Guilt is being responsible for what you have done wrong. And guilt, here's what's the important thing. Guilt requires a payment. If you're guilty, it requires a payment. The judge is looking for a payment. Now, let me just be blunt this morning and just settle the issue. We are all guilty. There's nobody in here this morning that's not guilty. Because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3, and you've turned there, Romans 3:23, a verse that we've all known from our youth. It says, for all have sinned. If you're here this morning, you've never sinned, I'll sit down and let you preach this message. Because the only person that never sinned was Jesus himself. But we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all guilty. Without any hesitation, look at somebody and say, I'm guilty.
See, you thought I was going to tell you to tell them that they're guilty, and it's really you're guilty.
We're all guilty. Then 1 John says this, that if we say we have no sin, in other words, we say we've never done anything wrong, and I've met some people like that. We say we've never done anything wrong, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. In other words, if we say, I'm not guilty, I was born good and I've always been good, you are deceived beyond measure. Guilt requires a payment. Now I want you to understand this, that guilt is a legal state. Guilt is a legal issue. Say legal issue. Don't forget that. That's very important. Guilt is a legal issue. If you are found guilty, the judge is slamming the gavel down and he's declaring, guilty! Once you're found guilty, immediately payment has to be made. Does that make sense? Now that's guilt. We are all guilty. We've established that fact. The gavel's been dropped. We have sinned. Every one of us here. Doesn't matter if it's a lie or murder, it's sin. But guilt is different from shame. And most people don't understand this, and this is where God's going to begin to heal people by opening your eyes. Shame is the painful feeling that's resulted from being guilty. Shame is that dirty feeling, that tainted humiliation, that somehow feeling that makes you feel less worthy, that feeling that says to you, yeah, I did that, now I'm not worth anything. Shame is that feeling that you're afraid that you've hidden it well, but you're afraid that somebody's going to find out what you're guilty of. Shame is that thing that you're afraid somebody's going to find out what happened to you. Shame is that covering, that emotion that you have that wants you to be hidden inside and you begin to hide inside and you look good on the outside, but inside you're in torment. Why? Because shame carries with it a sense of being dishonorable. Shame carries with it this sense that you don't feel like you're accepted or you're disgraceful or you're foolish. Shame is the feeling that says, I'm wrong and I'm not good enough. I want you to understand, as I said earlier, that guilt is a legal issue, but shame is an emotional issue. Guilt says payment has to be made, but shame says that you have to carry something. So where did shame come from? Where did shame start? Well, we find it in Genesis. Because we find, first of all, Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25 says this, and both of them were naked. And the man and his wife were not ashamed. They weren't shameful. Now, this afternoon, we're going to go see my new grandbaby who's 3 weeks old. But it's interesting that Joy can put Zion, 3 weeks old, into her bassinet, completely naked, and Zion don't care. She has no sense of shame. Why? Because she's innocent. Did you catch that? Adam and Eve were innocent that they had no shame. But here's what happened. After they were found guilty. Everybody say guilty. After they had messed up. After they did something wrong. They are now guilty. It says that the eyes of both of them were open and they knew that they were naked. So what did they do? They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. I want to share with you three things very quick are consequences of shame. Number one, consequences of shame. When you have shame, you try to cover up your guilt. You hide it. You don't want anybody to know about it. You try to cover up your guilt. But can I tell you, sir, can I tell you, ma'am, that what you're trying to cover up your guilt is inadequate? You can't cover your shame. It says that the both of their eyes were open and they went and sewed fig leaves. They went to a tree, don't forget that. They went to a tree, a fig tree, and pulled off leaves to try to hide their shame. You cannot hide your shame on your own. No matter what, no matter how good you get your hair done, no matter what kind of clothes you buy, no matter what kind of job you get, you cannot deal with your shame by yourself. That's the first consequence. The second consequence of shame is this, that you began to try to hide. It's amazing that they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden and they hid themselves. When you begin to walk in shame, you don't want to talk to anybody. You'll slip into church. I almost said you sit in the back, but I don't want to make a connotation to anybody. You slip into church and you slip out before you have to talk to anybody. Why? Because you hide. See, I need you to understand today, the enemy wants to get you isolated. The enemy wants to get you all by yourself. The enemy wants to get you all alone. Why? Because you're an easier target when you're all by yourself. And hear me this morning. Again, we are all guilty. It doesn't matter if you're 9 or 95. We have all been guilty. Can somebody say amen this morning? Shame will cause you to hide. You don't want to get around anybody. You keep dealing with shame and you don't let Jesus take care of it. You quit coming to church. You quit getting around people. You quit taking that phone call from your best friend. Why? Because you're afraid they're going to find out what happened to you. Number three, consequence of shame. Third consequence of shame. When you don't deal with your shame, you run away from God. It said they not only hid themselves, but watch what they hid themselves from. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. You don't feel like praying when you're walking in shame. You don't feel, because the devil will tell you, you're not good enough to go to God. Let me just go in and tell you, I don't care if you go to church every Sunday, read the Bible through 15 times a year, been in Sunday school and got the medals to prove it for 28,000 years, you'll never be good enough to go to God without Jesus Christ. I don't care if you're a preacher or a parking lot person, in your own life, you are not good enough to go to Jesus by yourself. Without Jesus, you are in trouble, brother. Thank God for Jesus. Can somebody say amen? So three consequences of shame. So let's talk about this morning. Let's get deep into this shame deal because there are some damages. I need you to hear me this morning because some of you are damaged because you've never dealt with shame. Shame, remember what I said, shame comes from something that you did or something that someone else did to you. I guarantee you, I knew in the Spirit of the Lord when I was praying over this message, there are people here this morning that you were sexually abused by a family member. There's people here this morning, you're here every Sunday, but you're dealing with alcoholism. There are people here this morning that you're here and you're shouting every Sunday, but you're dealing with depression. There are people that are sitting in here this morning. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but there's people in here this morning that you're here every Sunday or you're here all the time and you look good, but you're dealing with prescription drugs. I know it. The Holy Spirit told me. And you're dealing with the shame of it. So shame causes damage. See, because if you never deal with shame, shame will cause you to become chained to your past. You try to get closer to God. You try to get free. And every time you get to a certain point, you're bound because the enemy causes you to deal with shame. Shame begins to define you. You start believing that you're unqualified and you become a prisoner of your shame. You end up going on a guilt trip. Because of shame. Remember, guilt is being found of wrongdoing. And there has to be a payment. Shame is living under the penalty of guilty. And you live your life as a prisoner. And what happens is, you begin to become a prisoner of your past. So shame causes damage. If you never deal with shame, shame will cause you to become chained to your past. You try to get closer to God, you try to get free, and every time you get to a certain point, you're bound because the enemy causes you to deal with shame. Shame begins to define you. You start believing that you're unqualified and you become a prisoner of your shame. You end up going on a guilt trip because of shame. Is being found of wrongdoing, and there has to be a payment. Shame is living under the penalty of guilty. And you live your life as a prisoner. And what happens is you begin to become a prisoner of your past. And the enemy begins to make you carry the shame. And you start going on a guilt trip. And everywhere you go, doesn't matter if you're in church, doesn't matter if you're at work, it doesn't matter if you're at a family reunion, nobody can see it, but you're a prisoner. And you're carrying the chains of your past, and you're carrying a suitcase of guiltiness. I told you that shame begins to define you. It's not who God says you are, but you become a prisoner, and this is your identity. And what caused that? What kind of shame are you talking about, preacher? There's some of y'all this morning have been sexually abused. So you end up becoming a prisoner of that. Or some of you in here this morning, you have a criminal record. And so you become a prisoner of that. Some of you had an abortion. And so you start carrying that with you everywhere you go. Here's one the Holy Spirit gave me early this morning. He said, some of you, it's your relationship you had with your parents or even the relationship you have with your spouse that you come to church and put your arm around her, but you don't know how you argue and scream at each other when you get home. Some of you this morning have the shame of drug abuse. We all have the shame of sin. We all have things in our past. We all have shame of our finances. We might look good, but nobody wants to know we've bankrupt 5 times. Our failures in our life. Can y'all see I can keep going with this? Or some of you have been divorced and you don't want anybody to know you've been divorced, or you've been rejected, or your emotions are all messed up. Or some of you are shameful because you went to a church that was so full of religion, and because you didn't act like them, you're walking in shame. So what does it do? It changes your image. So you're not believing who God says you are. You're a prisoner of your past. So you have this suitcase of shame. And every time you start going forward, the enemy goes, oh, no, you don't. I want to remind you of what you did. I'm not going to let you go any farther because I can't afford to let you be set free. There are two types of shame that I want to deal with this morning that the Holy Spirit asked me to deal with. Number one, shame is from two things. Number one, shame comes from what somebody did to you. What somebody did to you. I've already mentioned about sexual abuse and different things like that. Shame comes from what somebody did to you. This is what 1 John says. If we confess our sins. If. Everybody say if. See, it's not up to God, it's up to you. If we confess our sins, He is faithful. I love those three words. Can somebody say that with me? He is faithful. Anybody thankful that God's faithful today? He is faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all, everybody say all. All unrighteousness. Ephesians 1:7 says, if we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Remember, that's the third word. Guilt, shame, grace. And Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved. Not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Let me tell you, your identity is not in shame. Let me tell you what grace does. Grace changes your identity to where now grace is defining you, not shame. Because grace defines you from failure to favor. So two types of shame I want to deal with. Number one, what people did to you. You're ashamed of that uncle. You're ashamed of how they touched you. You're ashamed of how that person lied. You're ashamed of what they did. And what they did is now on you. Rome and Romans hated Jews. They hated them. And the number one thing a Roman would love to do is humiliate a Jew. Hated them. And so the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 27 that before Jesus ever went to the cross, he went to a whipping post. Oh, y'all know that? But let me tell you about that whipping post. Here's the important thing about the whipping post. Jesus did not have to go to the whipping post to deal with your sin. Your sin was dealt with on the cross. Don't miss this. Your sin was dealt with there. But he chose to go to the whipping post to deal with your shame and your sickness. Because the Bible says, by his stripes you were healed. Not the cross, but the stripes at the whipping. He took care of sickness. He didn't have to do that to get you to heaven. But he decided, you need to be healed on earth, so I'm going to do this for you. You've never seen a picture, even the Passion, as gruesome as it was that they created. But you've never seen a real picture of the scourging. And I'm going to tell you why. Because if you study Roman history, you will find out that a Roman would strip you naked to be beaten. The Bible says that they stripped him of his garments. And according to Jewish culture, it was against the law to be naked in public. So Jesus, because of your shame, the Bible says that they stripped him, they put a crown of thorn on his head, and they spit on him and mocked him, and he opened not his mouth. This is freedom to you that somebody's done something to you. Jesus did not do anything wrong, but they were doing something to him. And I want you to understand today that some of you are living in guilt and shame because the devil said, maybe you did it. Maybe you attracted him. Maybe you flirted with him. Maybe, no. It's not what you did. It was their choices that caused this to happen. And you need to understand today that you cannot be controlled by their choices. You make a choice today to believe that Jesus took your shame. And Jesus went to this whipping post. They stripped him naked. And he laid there, bound to this post. And they brutally ripped his flesh open to the point that the Bible says through the prophet that he was unrecognizable. Some of you today, as a child, maybe in your early teens, you were full of joy, you were full of laughter, you were full of excitement, but something happened to you. Somebody touched you in the wrong place. Somebody raped you. Somebody did something to you. You fell into the lie of abortion and you did something. And now you're unrecognizable. You're not like you were as a child. You don't have the freedom you had as a child. Why? Because somebody did something to you that caused you to become a prisoner, and now you're walking in shame. I want you to look at this verse. It's found in the book of Proverbs. Isaiah. It says, I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who plucked my beard. I did not hide my face from shame or from spitting. I've got great news for you today. Jesus went to the whipping post to deal with what people did to you. And your shame was taken off of you at the whipping post of what somebody else did for you. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
But second of all, not only are we dealing with what other people did to you, but now the shame of what you did, the choices you made. Proverbs says this in chapter 28. It says, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but he who confesses them and forsakes them will have mercy. I want you to understand that Jesus took care here of what other people did to you. But when he got here, he took care of what you did. The cross. We sang about the cross this morning. Have you noticed this whole message keeps pointing you to the cross? Keeps pointing you to the cross. Why? Because this is what it says in Hebrews 12:2. We keep using this verse. This is looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He took on your shame at the cross. Notice this verse in Colossians chapter 2. You being dead to trespasses. I'm sorry, but this just gets me excited. I've been made alive with him, having forgiven me of all my trespasses. Now, this is the key. Get this. He has taken them out of my way and nailed them to the cross. Let me tell you what God did. He said, hey, you're bound. But guess what? Over there, I got rid of what somebody did to you. Don't you feel a little lighter now? Look at that. I've broken the devil's chains on your life of what somebody did for you. You don't have to be in bondage anymore. But that's not all I did. I went to the cross. And what I did at the cross was I took all the things that you were dealing with. I took all the things that you were dealing with. There's somebody here today, you're dealing with alcoholism. I got good news for you. You ready for this? God went to the cross and he nailed it to the cross. Not only that, some of you have been dealing with bad religion. Guess what? God took care of that. He nailed it to the cross. Some of you have had bad emotions. Guess what? I got good news today. Guess what he did? Come on, say it with me. He nailed it to the cross. Come on, let's try that again. He nailed it to the cross. Some of y'all been rejected, but guess what Jesus did? Say it. He nailed it to the cross. Some of y'all have been divorced, but guess what Jesus did? Come on, tell me. He? Oh, glory to God. You're starting to get this. No more shame. No more problem. Everything that you did, guess what Jesus did? He's taking it out of the way and he, say it with me, nailed it to the cross. Every bit of it has been nailed to the cross. You do not have to walk in shame anymore. Why? Because your problem has been nailed to the cross. And he says, no more guilt trips. Bring it to the cross. But here's the issue. Wait a minute. All of this is wonderful. But here's the problem. We still got a bad image. This is where a lot of y'all are this morning. I would dare say 40% in here. You're still coming to church inside in prison clothes. And the Bible says he gives us the garments of salvation. Anybody saved in the house today? I've got good news. If you're not saved, you can be before you leave. How do I know? If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forget. And guess what he'll do? He will nail it to the cross. Every one of us, he saw our life. He saw what people were going to do to us, and he took care of it. He saw what we were going to do, and he took care of it. And now we have a garment of salvation. But there's one more piece of attire that you need to add to it. Because the Bible says he not only gives you the garment of salvation, but he gives you a robe of righteousness. You hear me? You're not only saved, but you've now been made righteous.
We know that this message has inspired you. And if you would like to receive this message in its entirety, contact us through our website at gtchurch.net and request your copy of today's message. Gospel Tabernacle is a church and ministry that believes there is a mighty outpouring of God's presence moving throughout the world. And we want to be a conduit of that outpouring. Join us in worship in person or by way of streaming. Again, just go to our website at gtchurch.net for all that information. May God bless you and may you enjoy biblical covenant living in your everyday life.